Hi, I'm Steph Pham, host of Popner Lounge. When I founded this show, I created Popner Lounge as a safe space for creatives to share their journey. We were founded on the principle of empathy, and we believe that now more than ever. Popner Lounge stands in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. We stand with our Black brothers and sisters who have been guests on the show, who are our listeners, and to every person fighting for the rights that Black lives definitely deserve. We encourage our listeners to be mindful allies. We encourage them to educate themselves on the Black Lives Matter movement, and we also want to encourage you to sign petitions, to check in on your Black friends, to highlight Black creators, and to do what you can to support the Black Lives Matter movement.
Power in unity.
Hey, it's Christian Burkhart. You're about to listen to my interview on Pop Nerd Lounge.
Hi, nerd community. Welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge, the podcast for the creative soul. I'm your host, Steph Pham. Our guest this episode is a singer-songwriter out in Los Angeles. He created a musical foundation in the acoustic space, but now he's expanding his sonic footprint and delving more into the pop world. His single, Lex Luthor, is out now. We talk about his musical background. He takes questions from our very first edition of the PNL Hotline, and we play a game of Finish the Lyric. This is Christian Burkhart. Welcome to Popner Lounge. My guest today is Christian Burkhart. Christian, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Steph. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, my first question is an icebreaker question. How would you build the perfect sandwich?
The perfect sandwich has to have mustard, it has to have mayo, and it has to have some quality cold cuts going on here. If you can add some crunchy bacon, then all the better. Like, bacon always makes it better. I love a good club sandwich, like a bacon club with some avocado.
Ooh.
So I think that would probably be the ideal situation.
You pair that with some jalapeno chips or some salt and vinegar chips.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Add some chips. I've been recently obsessed with this Southern Heat barbecue Lays. Have you tried those?
Oh no, but that sounds amazing. I'm a huge barbecue chip fan. I love barbecue chips.
They're barbecue chips, but they have a little bit of this Cajun spices.
Ooh, that sounds so good. See, now that I'm on this food train, I can't stop, but I need to.
Oh yeah, I can go on.
So you didn't really view music as a career until you were recovering from an injury while you were in college. When was that? Was that the moment you decided that there was no plan B but music?
That wasn't the exact moment where I fully committed, but it definitely became my main hobby and my main focus for fun, I guess, at that point, because I was super into sports before then. And when I realized that, hey, maybe I'm not cut out for this college sports stuff, I was already in bands in high school. So I just just leaned further into that. And it became my life after that. It was a slower progression, but that was kind of the turning point, I guess you could say.
And what drew you to teach yourself guitar at a young age?
Okay, so my mom's Asian, my mom's Korean, and immediately she pushed me towards the classic Asian instruments, piano or violin. I turned both those down. So she got me to start playing the saxophone. I guess that was the next best thing. I guess, jazz is, kind of close to classical. But I did jazz band for several years in middle school and stuff, but I wanted to be able to sing, and you can't sing while you're playing a reed instrument.
Right.
So I was like, hey, I can learn piano or I can learn guitar. Those are probably the best options. And I remember seeing my friends, I went to Catholic school, and every year we do a talent show. And my friends did a Green Day band talent show where they played a couple Green Day songs, and they're up there with electric guitars and bass, the full drum kit. And that was the moment where I was like, damn, I want to do that. I want to be a fucking rock star someday. I was probably in seventh grade or something. And that's the moment I decided I'm going to learn how to play guitar. I was just a little kid, you know.
That's awesome. Dude, being an Asian kid, I actually followed the classic Asian instrument. I went into violin. I played violin for like 9.5 years. But then after that, I was like, after like high school ended, I was like, we're going to part ways. You're kind of like a traumatic part of my past. I'm glad I had you, but like you were a part of like the trauma of my past. So we're just going to say goodbye. I'm glad I had music. I'm glad I could read music, but we're just going to depart ways and we're going to figure that out. But yeah, I definitely was glad that I had that in my past too.
Oh, I wish I could play. Later in my music career, I was like, you know what? I can play guitar. I'm going to rent a violin and just, I'm sure I can just pick this shit up like this. No problem. Because I wanted to like track some parts for a solo. So I rented a violin for like a week and I quickly discovered that it's way harder than guitar. It, first of all, it's tiny. So my fingers like couldn't press like the notes down. There's no fret lines. So you have to just like have perfect pitch with your ears. And yeah, it was just not what I expected whatsoever.
It's a tricky instrument. I mean, like a couple weeks ago, I actually busted out my sister's violin, because I don't have mine anymore, but I busted out my sister's violin. I was like, let me see what I can remember. And it's been so long since I've touched one. And I'm like, let's just see if we have some muscle memory. Yeah, it's like super difficult to gain that back.
For real, man. For reals.
Do you remember the first time you physically saw a copy of your music in the store?
I think so, but it's like it was so long ago, I can't really recall. It was at this place in Portland. God, what was it called? It was like an iconic music store down there that my management, I got them to carry my first CD. And it was definitely a pretty rad feeling to go through the aisles and look for your the first initial of your name and find yourself in there. And just the whole experience was definitely, you know, one of those things. But, you know, now we're in this digital era and like the whole physical copy of the CD thing is like a lost art type of situation. You know, it's just like everybody's making playlists and looking for singles and putting all their favorite singles together in their own playlists. And it's just, you know, it's changed, I think, for the better, but also for the worse in some ways as well. So
I agree. Cause like, I mean, we're never going to have that nostalgia of like, or as much anymore. I mean, physical CDs and like vinyls are coming back, but we're never going to have that nostalgia again where like you get that CD from like Target or a music store and then you open up that plastic wrap and you're like looking through like the booklet. You're just never going to have that feeling anymore because it's not as common. Sure. Yeah.
There was something special about that too, you know? And like that disc was the music. So you tried to take care of that thing. It gets some scratches and it would skip sometimes. You'd have the big book. And it just got super thick with the pages and stuff. Oh, man, there's something special about that for sure. I have to admit that it's a lot more efficient and convenient now, but I don't know, man. There's just something awesome about that, you know?
Right, or like mix CDs. I mean, like, come on. Does anybody remember mix CDs anymore? Oh, my gosh. Who has been the biggest mentor in your musical career?
Biggest mentor? Jeez, that's a tough one, man. I don't think I really have a mentor. I've gone through like serious phases where I was really obsessed with certain artists or types of music, and then maybe they served as mentors for a period of time. But the place that I'm at now, the truth is I don't listen to a lot of music. At least I don't fanboy as much as I used to. I hear it and I absorb it. And it definitely influences what I'm doing. But I don't, like, I can't recall artist names or song titles anymore very often. Like, it definitely goes in, but I don't know how to explain it. I've reached a point where I don't really have, like, any type of mentor situation. I'm a free-flowing organism that just takes in information and then puts it out and it creates. And it's like, I don't know how to explain it, man.
No, I feel you. Because, like, we just live in an age where it's, like, there's just so much to choose from and to listen to. So it's just, like, you're taking in everything. Especially, like you said, like, we live in a digital age where, like, there's just massive amounts of single and, like, music, new music every day. So there's, like, so much to choose from.
For real. I mean, like, when I saw my first deal, I was really into, like, acoustic stuff. And I really liked, like, John Mayer and, like, who was the other guy? Jason Mraz, and like I did like Andy Grammer and stuff, but like the stuff I'm doing now isn't like that at all, and it's influenced by other music. My voice is still kind of in that genre, but it just you know, a twisting and mixing and just like a smoothie of different sounds now, and it's really hard to pinpoint like individual mentors at this point. You know what I mean?
I like that, a smoothie of sounds. I like that. I like that. What's a lesson that you learned on your journey that made you a better musician, and would you share that with budding musicians?
The biggest lesson that I've learned as a creator is to find people that are willing to be honest with you. Like, if you surround yourself with a bunch of yes men that are just always going to tell you your stuff is great, you'll never be able to grow, and you'll never be able to improve what you're doing, because you'll just always think it's good. You always think it's good enough. And finding key people for me to bounce my music off of that'll tell me, hey, bro, you know, that's cool, but you're not quite hitting the mark, or you need to, you know, you need a new course or whatever it is. People that are willing to be honest with me, have that, just knowing how to set those lines up has really kind of, you know, taken my music to the next level and allowed me to grow.
I think that's really great, because like we live in a society where like it can get easy to live through the hype, especially with like social media and everything, and everybody like putting their highlight reels together and making sure everything looks perfect. It can be very easy to be like, oh, everything's so good, everything's great. Yet you need those people in your life to like put you in check, basically, and be like, yo, maybe this will make it better. Like, just constructive criticism. Like, it's a good balance between like giving you praise, but also like making sure that you are pushing yourself to your fullest potential.
I totally agree. And you know, that's not to say that having the yes men around is a bad thing too. You need some of those too. Like, you got to stay up as well, but you can't get too cocky, and you can't, you know, you got to be willing to be critical of your work.
What would your response be to people who tell creatives, do your art as a hobby and find a real job? Have you ever personally experienced this, and where you had to supplement your musical career with another job?
Totally. Yeah. A lot of my music career has been that exact thing. And, you know, a part of me wishes that I would have not done that, because it's just tough to spread yourself out like that. You know what I mean? If you really, my personal opinion is that if you really want to succeed at something, you kind of have to go in 100%, you know? Like, I was always like in, you know, maybe 80, 85, 90, but then I'd be going to school, or I'd have a side job or some type of backup plan. And I felt like that might have held back my progression a little bit. But when I got my first big record deal and I was 100% in, I kind of, that light kind of clicked for me. It was like, oh, this is what it's like to be only doing music and to be putting everything I have into this. And wow, does it feel good. You know? So, yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, it's hard to do that when you need money to live, and you know, you gotta pay rent and stuff like that. But ideally, that's where you want to be as a musician someday. You know, that's what we're all trying to get to, I think.
Absolutely. Like, as creators, I think our goal is that we want to be able to do what we love, but to sustain it, to make it to where we can keep doing it. And it'll in turn give us like the resources we need to survive, essentially. So yep. Yeah, 100%. Well, you are the first artist that we're going to do this with. We actually just created something called the Popner Lounge Hotline, and we have our very first question from a fan. I'm going to keep it up right now, and it is from a fellow named, give me 1 second. His name is Jake, so we're going to go ahead and play you his question.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for this opportunity. Couldn't deny that your music is a part of my life, as every time I hear your songs, your old songs, I get to be transported back to my younger years. Question is, how do you feel when you hear from a fan that you are part of their lifetime? And how long do you think you could make music? Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Oh, what did you say at the very end there? Something about making music?
Yeah, how long do you think you can make music? I think.
Oh, how long?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, hearing that I'm a part of people's childhoods and stuff like that and their past, like, that's super cool, because some of my favorite songs do that to me too. When I hear certain songs from my past, they transport me immediately back to those times. A lot of 90s music does that for me. Like, I grew up, my family had, we had ski boats and stuff. So we'd go out in inner tube and water ski, and we'd always be bumping like Michael Jackson and like Keith Sweat and Mark Morrison and stuff like that. And whenever I hear those songs, it transports me back to those good times. So to hear other fans of mine saying that about my music is incredible. I mean, I think that's what we want to do as artists. And that's awesome. And also, Jake, you're the guy. I know you, man. I seen you on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for supporting me and always repping my stuff. I appreciate you, bro. And thanks for submitting a question as well.
You were previously signed with Kemosabe Records. What was your biggest takeaway from that phase of your journey as an artist?
Geez, that's a very loaded question for me, at least. You know, I have good and bad experiences with them, but when I look back at it, I tried to take it all as a positive, because although maybe things didn't go the way I wanted, I learned a lot, and it has allowed me to grow into the musician I am now, and it's allowed me to create the music I'm making now. So, you know, net positive. But what I've learned from that experience is that I'm a control freak, and I like to have control of my sound and my music, and I don't like having someone else tell me what I should sound like, or what songs are the songs or whatever. Like, that was hard for me being signed with them, because they had an idea of what they wanted me to be, and it was different from my own. So we were constantly butting heads, you know, and just the whole thing was really, you know, it taught me that I like to be in control, I guess. I like to make music that I like, you know what I mean? And then if my fans like it, then that's awesome, you know? But
how did you process the transition from being with a label to becoming an independent artist?
Very slowly and painfully. You know, people talk about like post-tour blues and such, like after you go on a big tour and then you're off for months, you get, like a lot of musicians get depressed. Well, when you lose a big record deal like that, you know, that has effects on you too. And for a while, I was so jaded and just disappointed about how everything went that I decided that I was going to take a break from music, and just, I actually didn't write, sing or play or do anything or really post much for probably 2 years, you know. I just kind of got away from it for a while. And when I look back at it, it was exactly what I needed as a creative person, because, you know, I think that creativity goes in spurts, and sometimes you just need a break and you need to recharge. You need to listen to other music and you need to just absorb new ideas. You can't just keep going and going forever. And that 2-year break was just like a massive recharge for me. And when I decided to come back, I just had all this angst and all these ideas built up, and it was exactly what I needed. It was definitely a difficult transition, to circle back to your question, but it was necessary.
Oh yeah. And I agree. Cause like, we definitely, as creators, we need these phases of like recharging and like, just so that way we don't get burnt out on our passions, because like, that's when people are like, oh, that's why you didn't turn it into a job, because you'll get tired of it and you don't want to do it anymore. But I'm like, no, like, we love it. We just need to, like, you know, take a step back, take a breath, so that way we can become inspired, because it doesn't just happen on cue. Like, inspiration doesn't happen on cue. We have to become inspired whenever we feel like it, whenever we're tuned with our emotions and what we're feeling with the universe.
For sure. You can't force it. Like, I see it. I see creativity as like a video game, like a stamina meter. Like, you know what I mean? It goes down and you're going to spend your juice, and towards the end, you're not pushing like you were before, and you got to give it a chance to recharge. And granted, 2 years is a little long. That a lot of times my breaks are 1 week or 2 or 3 weeks that I'll take off, and then I'll come back strong. 2 years, I was signed to Sony for 4 or 5 years, and the last 2 years of that was pretty tough. So I needed an extended break, I think, is what that turned into. And it was, like I said, it was exactly what I needed.
You wrote a really well-articulated thread about how you're a singer-songwriter first and a producer second on Twitter. What's your why for getting more involved with the production process?
This has a lot to do with the question you asked me about the label and creative control. And growing up and making music, I always had to hire producers to get my stuff recorded properly. And I found myself, sometimes, actually a lot of the time, not happy with what I was getting, all the time and the money I was putting into these guys. And even with my record label experience, some of the stuff I did with some of the producers, I wasn't very happy with either. So I wasn't able to get exactly what I was hearing in my head. So at a certain point, after I lost my deal, well, even during the deal, I started learning how to produce my own music in order to exact my vision more precisely. And it was really more so about the creative control. Like, I wanted to really hone in on the sounds and the vibe that I was going for. And the only way to do that is to make it, just to do it yourself, you know? So, yeah, I just dove in and just started just watching a ton of YouTube videos and just researching and listening to a ton of music and trying to emulate the sounds that I'm hearing and just create the atmosphere that I'm hearing in my head. And like anything, it's, you level up, it's a process, you get better and better. And I'm still getting better right now. You know, every song I find myself learning new tricks. And let's hope that keeps happening for me.
Well, we have another fan question. This one comes from Bella. So I'm going to go ahead and play you Bella's question.
Sure.
Hi, Pop Nerd. This is a question for Christian Burghardt. Could you please ask him? Well, okay, so his music is so cool. The fact that he wants to release a new song every month is just fire. Thank you so much. They're all just amazing, and anyone who hears them would love them. But the new sound is just never gonna really, like, touch my heart the same way that his original acoustic stuff does. If you haven't heard it yet, you absolutely must. But I was wondering if you could ask him if he might ever consider revisiting it from time to time, if it should ever strike his heart to do so, because he is just the most phenomenal songwriter and he has the most beautiful voice, and I think we'd all be really open to it. In the meantime, thank you so much and good luck with everything.
Awesome. I actually get that question quite a bit, of course, from like the people who got into my stuff when I was doing the more acoustic stuff. And answer to that is maybe. At some point, perhaps, like, think of, like, when I listen to Taylor Swift, like, nowadays, like, I'm still a fan of, like, her early country stuff more than her pop stuff. And a part of me wishes that she would return to that as well. Even though, you know, that's not where her heart is right now, like, I feel like she probably will at some point. And that's probably the same for me at some point, too. Like, everything reaches a threshold. And I'll, with the acoustic music, I reached a point on the guitar and songwriting with those types of songs where I felt like I was kind of hitting the ceiling creatively. Like, I felt like I couldn't come up with anything that felt new. And I felt like my melodies were starting to get boxed in a little bit by what I could do on the guitar and the chords that I could play on the guitar, which is why I needed to get away from it so I could just let my creativity just go wild. But, you know, I'm probably going to get bored of this eventually too at some point. And I'll probably want to circle back to some of that acoustic stuff. So I guess the answer is maybe yes at some point, maybe not right this moment. But I can tell you that I'm going to be making acoustic versions of these pop songs, so you can at least get a little taste of that old sound.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And yeah, like, I can understand, like, from an audience member standpoint, I've had this discussion before where people are like, hey, like, these artists have evolved and they're not like, they're like, you don't get that original sound that you know them for. And, but to me, what I love is to hear evolution in artists' career. Like it's not, you're not listening to the same record from album to album. Like, you get new stuff all the time because it's like, you're getting sort of like yearbooks in their career. Like, and you're getting little chapters of who they are, and it's nice to see like growth and adaptation to where the music industry is. And so I love that you're expanding your sound.
Thank you. And just a little thing for my old fans, like I still love you guys, and I know that you guys are like, a lot of you guys are still like, you know, obsessed with that old sound, and that does not bother me one bit. Like, that's totally cool. Like, I'm just happy you guys are still hanging around and keeping up with what I'm doing, and just thankful to have you guys.
So she mentioned the singles that you're going to release, and the first one you just dropped today, Lex Luthor. Let's go ahead and talk about that. So this is just a game to ya. You feel no pain, do ya? Think you as low as lame, cuter. But you're just another Lex Luthor. This is all a game to ya. I wish I would've known sooner. Think you as low as lame, cuter. But you're just another Lex Luthor. What inspired you to craft a song around the superhero theme?
Oh man, you know, the song itself, I didn't really have the idea, like I didn't know what it was gonna be about really. I just had, in one of my videos I posted, I had just that one line, like, so this is just a game to you, you feel no pain, do you? That you was Lois Lane, cuter, but you just said that Lex Luthor, and that's all I had. It sounded like a breakup song, but I wasn't sure yet, but like, I was like, how am I gonna make this comic book reference work in a cool pop song? Like how am I, what's the melody gonna be? All those were still questions, but I knew I had like a cool rhyme scheme and a cool line. And it wasn't like a premeditated thing, I guess you could say. I sat down and I kind of constructed piece by piece and brought it all together over time. And when I sat down and heard the whole thing together, I was like, this is it, you know? But you know, sometimes I'll have the idea or the melody in my head beforehand. This was not one of those situations. This was like a, you know, bring it all in one piece at a time type of situation.
I love that. And like, by the way, everybody should go listen to Lex Luthor because it is so fire. Streaming in all music platforms, go out and listen to it. And we'll be sure to look out for the other singles too, because I'm sure they're going to be just as good, if not greater.
Thank you. Yep. I'm excited. I got a lot for you guys coming down the pipe.
How would you sonically describe the upcoming singles that you have planned?
They're kind of, they're kind of all over the board. I'm trying to give you guys as much diversity as possible, different tempos, different rhythms. And I'm trying to, a lot of my songs show off a lot of vocal diversity. Like I'll start low and I'll go really high on the choruses. I'll use my falsetto. They're all over the place. The next one I'm releasing in July is a lot faster and like, oh geez. It's, I wish I could just play it for you guys, but I have to, I hate marketing, guys. I hate marketing. I honestly wish I could just dump the whole album on you at once. Like, that would be awesome, but my team is like, we have to do it the right way. But they're all in this kind of like Lex Luthor genre, pineapple rum kind of thing, throwback. Like they all kind of fit in this overall mold, but they're all different too, and they're all sorts of different subject matter. So
well, we're looking forward to it. Definitely new music from you, and just like we know how much work that you've put into them, so we're definitely looking forward to it.
Hell yeah! Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just now finishing up another song that I'm really excited about. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the artist Katie Groves, who passed away recently. But me and her had a song together called Whiskey and Wine when we were signed to RCA, and we were really good friends. And when I found out about that, it really hit me hard. And I knew that, you know, I needed to write a song to tribute to her. And I knew it had to be a great song. Like I wasn't going to settle on anything. And I took my time with it. I finally came up with something that I'm really proud of, and we're finishing it up. And hopefully we're going to release that sometime during this summer. And I'm excited for you guys to hear that one too, because that one just turned out really powerful, but also very like fun and poppy too and catchy. So it's a little bit of everything. And I'm just stoked about it, man. I just wanted to put it out there on this interview and let everybody know that that's coming down the pipe. So be ready.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the exclusive, but that's so sweet and special that you would pay homage to that, because I think we need to do that sometimes whenever somebody like comes into our lives and has some kind of an impact on it. And if we lost them, we should honor them in some way.
For sure. There's still no real news about what happened to her. And there's some people that are, you know, suspecting some type of foul play, but that to hear that really bothers me. Knowing her, feels like that she would never take her own life, and that really was messing with me for the first few weeks that I had heard about this. And my song kind of talks a little bit about that in some ways, and I just think that's complete bullshit. It's not the person she was, and I don't want anybody to think that of her. So yeah, that's about all I got to say on that.
Well, we're going to switch gears and we're going to play a little game that I kind of ripped off 17. It's called Finish the Lyric. And the category that I decided to give you was All Out 2000s, because we're both 90s babies. And so we kind of grew up with that music. So I'm going to give you a few songs from that era, and I'm going to give you the lyrics. Your job is to basically finish the next line. So
let's do it.
Yeah, first up, your lyric is, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, grab my glasses, I'm out the door, I'm gonna hit the city.
What? I know that song, god damn it. That's a Kesha song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. What's the next line again? Grab my glasses,
I'm out the door, I'm gonna hit the city.
Oh, dude. I know that song because she was on my label. But I couldn't tell you the next line. All that comes to my head is the chorus. That's TikTok, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's TikTok.
Oh, man. But yeah, you got me. You win that one.
All right, next one is, so I put my hands up, they're playing my song, the butterflies fly away.
Oh, that's Miley Cyrus. That's too good. Butterflies fly away. And then what? Oh my gosh. Hey, say the lyrics one more time.
So I put my hands up, they're playing my song, the butterflies fly away.
Butterflies fly away. Not in my head like, yeah. Right. In my head, like, yeah. My hands up, playing my song. Yes, let's go.
There we go.
All right, one
there
point for Christian. Let's go.
All right. So the next song. No, I'm not the man I used to be. See, you met me at an interesting time.
I know that one too. Shit, but I think you got me on that one too. I can't recall, but it's so familiar though. It's like on the tip of my tongue.
I'll give you the artist. It's John Mayer.
Oh shit. I should know this one. Sorry if I'm cussing a lot.
No. You're fine.
It's just natural. You can bleed me out if you have to. Get me at an interesting time. Tell me, it's going to piss me off when I hear it, but tell me.
So the full lyrics is, no, I'm not the man I used to be lately. So you met me at an interesting time. And if my past is any sign of your future, you should be warned before I let you inside.
Oh, dude, it's from the Continuum album, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. But, oh, dude, there's just too many good songs in that. Like, I can't remember which one it is. Tell me.
I don't trust myself loving you.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Oh man, that album was so good.
Oh my god. It's my desert island album. Like, if I had to take one album to a desert island, that's the one I would choose. Because I would never get sick of it.
Just too good. Like that kind of, you know, that album and some of the stuff he did is another part of just like, everybody has that artist that's like gives you the quick factors. It's like, bro, I should just stop. I'll never be as good as this guy. And that was the one that was like, maybe I should just put down the guitar, man. This guy's too good. You know what I mean?
I feel you on that one. All right, next song is This Love Has Taken Its Toll on Me.
This love has taken its toll on me. She said goodbye too many times before. Maroon 5, let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Next song is Oops, I Did It Again. So, Oops, I Did It Again. I Played With Your Heart.
Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby. It's, isn't that Britney Spears? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Classic.
I love all that shit, like all those boy bands and stuff. Like, people give me shit for it, but the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Boys to Men, all that shit was fire.
Yes, it's like the stuff that I play at weddings, because I used to DJ weddings, and so like that's the stuff that I really love playing for weddings.
Yeah,
like,
know, that's the truth is, a lot of that stuff is like inherently present in the stuff I'm making now. Like, it's kind of just in there. Like, I can't get rid of it because it's my roots. You know, it just a little bit of it seeps out in all my songs. And like, the more music I continue to put out, y'all will see that, like, it becomes really obvious once you hear the body of work. You know, it's like I'm dipping back into that old, like, 90s early 2000s stuff that really, like, worked with me. And I couldn't quite do it with the acoustic, because that was like a different, like, pop folk genre. It's like I'm dipping into the other half of my musical influences, and it's fucking awesome, dude. It feels great.
I feel like that's what's, like, coming around now. Like, with Dua Lipa, with Future Nostalgia, she kind of leaned into that, like, 80s synth sound.
Oh, to I make love her. Dua. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That whole album is fire. I love that album.
I love that stuff. And those productions are insane, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got one more song for you.
Okay.
And it's, Girl, I'm in Love With You, But This Ain't the Honeymoon.
Girl, I'm in Love With You, But This Ain't the Honeymoon.
It's a John Legend song.
Oh, shit. I think you got me completely stumped on this one.
It's from Ordinary People, and it goes, Girl, I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon. We're past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love. At times we get sick of love, and it seems like we argue every day.
Oh no. That sounded really familiar. Is that the chorus? Hit me with the hook.
Oh, hit you with because we're ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. We're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I should have known that one.
It's one of my favorites. I love John Legend. Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's great. He's got like that classic vibrato tone and stuff. Oh man. He's got like a richness to his voice that not a lot of people can emulate, you know? It's like maple syrup, like just like, you know?
Like butter. Oh my God. So good. So good. And like the thing is, like, his music from like when he started, like something like that from the, from his, one of his first albums to like now, you like, it's still him, even though his sound has changed a little bit. It's still very him. He's remained true to who he is. And that's just like one of the rare things about him, because not a lot of people do that. And so, yeah, like, you just still hear him.
He's got one of those like voices that just, it doesn't matter what music you put behind it, it's John Legend. Like, you just, you know what I mean? He's got an iconic voice. Really cool. Really cool.
Christian, it's been so fun chatting with you and playing this lovely little Finish the Lyric game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn the floor over to you, and I'm gonna let you either plug what you want to plug, tell people your socials, or let your supporters know like anything that you want to say to them. So I'm gonna give the floor to you.
Sure. Guys, anybody who tuned in or anyone who's hearing this after the fact, love you guys. And like I've been saying recently, I'm no longer in this mode of, or in this place of mind of trying to gain tons of followers. All I care about are the followers that I have right now. I care about you guys, and I want to make music that you guys love. And I'm here for you. And as long as we're doing that, we good. We Gucci. So everybody, thanks for tuning in. And thank you for posting Lex Luthor on your stories and stuff. And don't forget to enter the giveaway. We're going to be doing giveaways every month for every release of every song, and they're all going to be fucking badass. This time we're dropping over $100 in Mopsy product, all these really cool skincare cosmetic line products. And in the future, we're talking swimwear, all sorts of cool stuff coming down the pipe. So stay with me on this journey. It's going to be great. I got a ton more music for y'all. And just thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Christian, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Steph.
A big thank you to Christian for that excellent conversation. I had a great time speaking with him, and it was really more in depth than I was expecting. We talked about his highs and lows of being on a label, being a part of that realm in the music industry, and what it takes to be an independent artist. There's so much behind the scenes that people don't realize, and it was really nice to have that kind of a conversation. And hey, I had a blast playing Finish the Lyric, and what was really cool was that we got to involve you, the fans, on our first ever edition of PNL Hotline. We're definitely going to be doing that more, so stick around, tune in to find out who our future guests are, and maybe you could ask them a question. If you want to know more about Christian or listen to his music, follow the links in the show notes. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. We want you to follow us so that way you can get the freshest episodes of Popner Lounge hitting your feed. And we want you to be here as we have more of these amazing conversations with these creatives. They're giving you wisdom from their own time. So we definitely want you to stick around and to hear what they have to say about their journey. Take it away, outro me. Popner Lounge is a two-man operation, rather I should say two-women operation. It is executive produced by Steph Pham and V. Co. V. Co. serves as the show's creative director, and Steph Pham is the show's host and editor. You can find us on social media at Popner Lounge. For an easy, convenient hub of everything Popner Lounge, visit our website, popnerlounge.com. That's it for this week. Tune in next time for another conversation with a fellow creative. I'm Steph Pham.